The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. In Devarim, Yutes Pasuk Tesvov, Lo Yokum Eid Echod B'Ish, one man shall not stand up against another man, Lechol Ovein, Lechol Chatois, Lechol Chet Asher Yechetor. Lechol Ovein, this would mean not to bring any chov. Targum says chov, avyan v'chovin. Not to bring any guilt against him. L'chol chates, or sin against him. Al pishnei edim, or al pishleisha edim yokum dover. But rather, you must have two witnesses or three witnesses. The Sifri learns from this posuk that a single witness cannot come to the Beis Din and testify against a person, whether it's in Dine Nefoshes, for capital punishment, or Dine Mamones, or to hold him guilty of a monetary punishment, or even if it's not a monetary punishment, but to testify against him in cases of monetary disputes, or for example Onshi Haguf, to bring any punishment against him which is corporal punishment, or Chiyuv Korban, or to bring a guilt of a sacrifice against him, or Psul Kohuna, or for example if he's a Kohen, to disqualify him from being a Kohen. This one witness cannot do. We must have a minimum of two witnesses. And from the Gemara, in regarding to this, we see that just like a single witness cannot come and disqualify a person from the kuhuna, from priesthood, so he cannot come to pasul anyone mikashrusai, to disqualify anyone from his keskes kashrus. And generally, a Jew is considered to be a kosher Jew. A kosher Jew means an upright Jew that qualifies for various rights and privileges, and we can believe him if he himself would come to testify. If he's a Rosho is a non-kosher Jew. That's a Jew who is not an upright Jew in any way. Then there are many facets of the Torah that we would not accept him for. For example, if he would come to testify, we do not accept anyone to become a witness. So if two witnesses would come and testify in a certain person, that this person is a Rosh, he is not a kosher Jew at all, then that Jew would not be qualified to testify in a court. But if one witness would do this, now we would need two witnesses for this also. This is the halacha of Eid Echod. Lo Yokum Eid Echod, that a single witness should not stand up against an ish, a person, l'chol oven or l'chol chates, b'chol chet asher yechetor. Whether it's to come and testify against him in a case of capital punishment or corporal punishment or a monetary dispute, or to come and obligate him with a sacrifice, or try to passel him, try to disqualify him either from the kohuna or for being a kosher Jew. We must have two witnesses. The Gemara darshins, but shvua, for a shvua he could. This means that if Reuven would come to the Beis Din, to the court with Shimon, And Reuven would say that Shimon, for some particular reason, states the reason and the claim, owes him a certain amount of money. And Shimon would deny it, and Reuven would bring in his favor a single witness. We could not, as we said, judge the case in accordance to the single witness, but the single witness could obligate the other person to defend himself with a shvua, where he would have to take an oath to defend his claim. So kabhu lishvua. And also we have, it is clear in the Gemara, that eidecho neman bi isurin. A single witness would be neman, wouldn't be believed, when it comes to isur v'heter. For example, if I want to know whether this is kosher or non-kosher, a single witness would be believed. If I would want to know if this piece of meat comes from an animal that was shechted properly or not shechted, shchuta or ena shchuta, he would be believed. Whether this is chelev or shuman, this is from a particular part of an animal which we can eat or we cannot eat. Whether this is truma or chulim, whether this is a part of, this is the type of crops which only a kohen can eat or not. That's what is known as isurin, isur v'heter, and that a single witness would be believed. This is the aloha of eid echod, of a single witness. It would seem that, therefore, if a single witness would come to testify, he would just be rejected and he wouldn't be believed. Actually, the Gemara tells us more. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Psochim, Perk Arbe Psochim, Dav Kuf Yud Gimel Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, well, first it starts by telling us, Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyavon, Kadosh Baruch Hu loves three types of people. Misha Eina Keis, someone who never gets angry. Umisha Eina Mishtaker, someone who never gets drunk. Umisha Eina Maimir Al Midesov, and someone who is not a captain. A captain is someone who is very rigid and never willing to compromise in his ways. Those three HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves very much. That's someone, again, someone who never gets angry, someone who never gets drunk, and someone who is not a captain, ain't a maimid al midesov, that he is a person who's always willing to compromise and to be flexible in his ways. Shleish HaKadosh Baruch Hu seinon. There are three particular types of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Amadaber echad bepeh v'echad b'leiv. Someone who speaks one way with his mouth, and in his heart he thinks other things. In other words, this is a person who is not a truthful person, or is a machnif. He's a person who tries to falsely flatter another person. Or someone who's aware of something that happened regarding his friend, and he can come to his friend's help by testifying on behalf of him, and he does not testify. Now this is either where a single witness would be acceptable, or where there's already another witness and we are looking for a second witness, and this person can be that second witness. But he says, look, I don't want to get involved. This is one of the types of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, because if you can help your fellow man by testifying on his behalf and it's true, then you must. And if you, a person, sees where his friend does something wrong, and it's the type of thing where you should bring it to the Beis Din, because we could say it might be relative to other people or whatever it might be, and he goes to the Beis Din to testify, but as a single witness. That's what we're speaking about now. But here it says not only he's not believed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates this type of people, type of person. Kiha de Tuvia. Now the Gemara brings a case. There was a case of a person by the name of Tuvia, Tuvia Choto. Tuvia did something which he wasn't allowed to. But also Zigud. And Zigud, another person saw it, and he said that this type, what he did, I must go tell the Beis Din, because it was important that the Beis Din knows. could have been important maybe because of the community. Maybe he did something against his fellow man, and therefore maybe he stole something. So Zigud went to the Beis Din, Lechudei Va'asid Be'kamei D'Rapopo. He testified before Rav Popo. Nagdeho LeZigud. Rav Popo ordered that Zigud, this individual, gets Malkus, that he gets corporal punishment. Omalei, he said, Tuvi Yechotav Zigud Mingad. Tuvi is the one who did something wrong, not me. And I'm the one that gets the Malkus. I'm the one that gets the lashes. Omalei Ein, he says, yes. Diksiv LeYokum Eid Echot B'Ish. Because it states that a single witness shall not stand up against another man. Mat lechudoch asid bay, and you came as a single witness. Shem rabbi almo kamafkis bay. You have brought on this other person a shem ra. You slandered the other person. And therefore, I'm ordering that you get lashes. This is what the Gemara brings. What do we see from here? We see, first of all, that if a person knows a testimony which can help his friend, or which is a testimony which is an important testimony, he must testify under the proper circumstances. And if he doesn't, this is one of the three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. This is called Kevesh Edusoy, where he withholds his testimony. Not only that, if it's the type of testimony that can save a person from a physical damage or even a monetary damage, for example, someone stole something from him and I know about it, and if I will testify, then I can help him get his money back. Or someone is planning on stealing something from someone or planning on harming someone. Not only is it a mitzvah, but if a person doesn't do it, then he transgresses a negative commandment. The Gemara dashens this in Sanhedrin, Nanayin Gimel Amar Aleph. The Gemara dashens this, that when it's relative to a person's life, so then it states, Leisamayt al dam re'echo, you are not allowed to stand by and let your fellow man's life be put in danger. Not only when he happens to be sinking in the sea, but if you know someone wants to harm him, and you can help him by testifying in Beis Din, if you don't testify. But in the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, Mitzvah Reish Sarek Zayin, the Rambam brings from the Mechilta that this also refers to Kevesh as Eidusei Binyan Momonos, that even if you withhold your testimony, and it's not relevant to the person's physical safety, but it's relevant to financially to him. Someone wants to take some money away from him, Shalei Kedin. Also, if you do not testify on his behalf, you transgress that negative commandment of Leisamir al Dam Reecho, that you should not stand by idly while there's another Jew who might become hurt. Now, so we see that from one aspect there's an obligation on a person to testify for another person, but that's where the testimony will be acceptable to the Beis Din. But if it's not acceptable to the Beis Din, for example, it's something which requires shnei edim, two witnesses, and you come as a single witness, so not only is it not a mitzvah then, because you can't do anything with your testimony, but aveira hi, but it's a very, very great aveira. It's a great chet, a sin. Why? Because since it's not acceptable to the Beis Din, so shame rabbi alma komach kislei, it ends up that you are just slandering him. And if you're slandering him, you'll be metzi shame rab. This is the terrible isur of giving someone a false name, or loshon hara. And this is why Rav Popo ordered Malkus for Zigut. Now, this is explained in the Rashbam, in the Gemara there, and this is Paskin in Cheshen Mishpat, that where the Cheshen Mishpat in Simin Chof Ches, in the Mechaber, the Ramon the Gro. There it states in the Mechaber that, well, you know a testimony that can help your fellow man, You're obligated to testify, but that's only in a testimony that will be acceptable in Beis Din. But if it's a testimony that cannot be acceptable, for example, you're a single witness, then not only are you not obligated, but it's an aveira, because it comes out that you are merely slandering your fellow man. According to what we just said, the one who testifies as a single witness will transgress what is known as Meitzi Shemra, giving someone a false name, or Loshon Hara, slandering another person, or speaking badly about him. This in the Torah that it says, Lo Yokum Eidecho, that a single witness should not stand up, that would refer to the Beis Din. The Beis Din cannot accept a single witness. And if, for some example, a Beis Din, a court, would accept the testimony of a single witness, then the Beis Din would transgress the negative commandment of Lo Yokum Eidecho Be'ish. Again, if this states Lo Yokum Eidecho Be'ish, a single witness should not stand up against another man, this refers to the Beis Din, that the Beis Din is not allowed to accept this testimony. And if you would have a Beis Din that would accept the testimony of a single person in regards to what we are speaking about, then the Beis Din would transgress the negative commandment of Lo Yokum. The Chofetz Chaim, Zichrein Lebrocha, in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Psicha Lelavim, Osh Yud, brings, however, there are other Rishayim, there are other early commentaries, the Smag and Yerein, who hold that this transgression goes on the person himself. Then not only will the person transgress Loshon Hara, but he will also transgress the negative commandment of Lo Yokum Eidecho Be'ish, of coming to testify against another person. The Chofetz Chaim brings again, this is in Osh Yud, Im Kom Veheid Olov Lifnei Beis Din Bedvar Isher B'Yechidi. Person comes to the Beis Din and testifies against his fellow man as a single aid. Kivin Shein Yochol Lov Emizeh Shum Te'Eles, since nothing can come from this in regards to Momon, then B'Lei Linyan Lifsol Eso Isha Zeh Becheskes Kashrusay. And also, he could not disqualify this person from his status of being a kosher Jew, because he's only a single. If I want to come and testify against so-and-so, that this person is a rosher, he's not an upright Jew, the Beis Din cannot believe me as a single witness. So it comes out that he's just speaking Loshon Hara, bringing a bad name to him. And therefore, he will transgress Loshon Hara, and also Gam Ken Alav De Yokum Eidecho Be'ish L'Cholov and L'Chol Chatas. And also, he would transgress the negative commandment of Lo Yokum Eidecho Be'ish. A single witness should not stand up against another man. And then he brings B'Yomi Makadmenim, in the early days when the Beis Din would give corporal punishment, so they would be Laukese Avu Ze'Adora. They would give such a person corporal punishment. Now, everything that we've said till now refers to in Beis Din, in the court. What happens if a single person wants to come and say something against an individual outside of Beis Din, and he feels it's very, very important? That has a different halachos. You see, in Beis Din, then what we said is accurate, because the Beis Din has authority to give judgments. But their authority to give judgments is limited. It's limited to witnesses. They cannot give a judgment until they have affirmed that it's true. And how do they affirm something that's true? Through proper witnesses and proper evidence. Al pishnei edim yokum dover. The Torah says that we must have two witnesses. So therefore, a Beis Din, a court, cannot give any judgment in these type of rulings that we're speaking about through one witness. But what would be outside of Beis Din? And you see, say that Reuben sees Shimon do something wrong, and he wants to tell people about it. Now there, the halacha is divided into two parts. If he sees Reuben do something wrong, the question is, why does he want to tell people about it? If he wants to tell people about it, leganesei, because he wants to spread this around what kind of person Reuben is. And his motive is to let people know that Reuben is a bad person. And this is his motive, to give Reuben a bad name. Well, but it's of no practical relevance for us to know this about Reuben. So then this is the Lashon Hara that the Torah tells us, which is not only an Aveira, but is perhaps the oven, to quote the words of the Vilna Gaon, ha-oven ha-chamura b'chol ha-teira kula. It is the most severe Aveira in the entire Torah, he writes. And we've spoken and we can speak for months on that. So if that's his motive, then he certainly has no right to say this. And not only that, but anyone who will listen to him, then he will transgress Lashon Hara also, because Lashon Hara is not only on the Mesaper, on the one who says it, but is on Mekablo, the one who accepts it also. The fact is, the Gemara brings that Mekablo is Yesi Mekulam, that the one who listens to Lashon Hara and accepts it is worse than the one who's Mesaper, who says the Lashon Hara. Not only does he transgress, in addition, not only does he transgress listening to Lashon Hara and believing it, but he also transgresses Lif Naiva Lesite Mikshali. He is the one who is allowing the Mesaper, the one who says it, to be able to say it. Because if someone would come to me and I would say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to listen to you, then he couldn't say Lashon Hara. And the Gemara brings, Godel Ein Shemakabel Yesemina Emre, the one who listens and accepts is worse than one who says. And Roy Lashlichai Leklovi, that someone who listens to Lashon Hara, the Gemara says he's befit to throw this person to the dogs, as it states, Lesisa Shema Shov, you shall not listen to the bad words which someone has to say about another Jew. The Somekle, and right near it, it says, Lakelev Tashlich, and I say it tells us about when you shecht and you don't have something and it comes out that it's a trefa, you should throw it to the dog. So the Gemara makes a drosha that someone who listens to Lashon Hara, he would be fitting to throw that person to the dog. So if the motive is leganesei, you want to tell people what kind of Jew this individual is, he does such and such a thing, but this is the entire motive and there's no practical purpose in it, then this is the Lashon Hara of the Torah. But what happens what happens though, that if your motive is not leganesei, not to give him a bad name, but there is a practical relevance and a practical purpose in what I'm saying, because this person could be some type of danger. For example, let's say that this person, I happen to know, I saw him steal. If I tell the right party about it, who he stole from, he perhaps can get his money back. Or let's say that the person, like we mentioned before, wants to harm a certain person. So there, I'm not interested in giving him a bad name. He will get a bad name, but that's not my interest. But I want to tell the right parties in order that they can protect themselves from this person. Or let's say that I know that Shimon wants to enter into some type of business deal with Reuben. He wants to do a business deal with Reuben. Or I know Reuben has to borrow money from him. Or Reuben wants to get a job by Shimon. Or enter into a partnership. And I happen to know that Reuben is not the one for this, because he can do a lot of damage to the other person. He could steal from him. He could borrow the money and not pay it back, and so forth and so on. Or, let's say, which is, these are all very, very common things. Let's say that Reuben has a daughter and Shimon has a son, and they're talking about a shidduch. And I happen to know that Reuben is not telling Shimon everything he should be telling him about his daughter or about his son. And this is something that the other party should know, because if they know, they should know in order to make the decision if they want to go ahead with it. Something that is very, very important. I'm not interested in saying the Lashon Hara. The fact is, I don't want to say the Lashon Hara. But on the other hand, if I'm silent, so then great harm can come to the other party. So what is the deen then? Now again, you couldn't come to Beis Din with such information, because the Beis Din will not be allowed to believe you, because the Beis Din has to give a judgment. And the judgment they can give only al pi edim, only in accordance to kosher edim. And you're not a kosher edim, you're an individual witness. So you couldn't come to Beis Din. But maybe I should tell the other party or parties involved. So what is the halacha then? The halacha is then, for sure it's mutar, for sure it's permissible. Like we mentioned, leisamid al dam re'ah, leisamid al dam rehu. You're not allowed to stand by and allow your friend to be harmed. And when you see there's a potential danger to your friend, then it's not only a reshus, not only is it a permission, but it's a mitzvah. But not only is it a mitzvah, it's an obligation. If you know a fellow Jew that is walking into a situation that can be harmful to him, and you have information which is important information for him, then this is what is known as false chassidus. Very false chassidus. A chassid shaita, for a person to say, I am not going to tell him because it's Lashon Hara. It's not only permissible, not only a mitzvah, but it's an obligation. However, you're treading on very dangerous ground. Because if you don't say, then we said what the consequences are. If you do say, you're speaking Lashon Hara, and you're talking about damaging perhaps someone's reputation. So therefore one has to know the halachos and tread very carefully. The Chofetz Chaim Zichron Livracha, in a Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he has special sections which deal with this, and he writes, like we said, you're obligated, but on seven conditions. He writes what the seven conditions are. We will mention this evening the seven conditions, but this is something which takes a lot of study to go into all of the pratim, all of the details, and one has to always study these halachos, especially now is Elul before Rosh Hashanah. It's very important. Now, what are the seven conditions? We will speak about them just in a general sense. First, he says that what you want to tell Shimon about Reuven, you have to make sure that you know what you're talking about. We're saying that you know that Reuven stole some money from Shimon, or you know Reuven is a gunner, or you know he's not a trustworthy person, and so forth and so on. Or you know that Reuven's son there's something very wrong with him, that he shouldn't be, that the other party should know before they want to talk about a shidduch. The first thing is, the Chofetz Chaim writes, you have to make sure you know what you're talking about, bibiru, certainly. And it's not just a shmua. Many, many times, this is what I heard. Now, you cannot go t- tell another person, spread this against an individual on hearsay. This is what I've heard. Now, it has to be where you know, either you saw, or you know, or you've investigated, and it can't be just hearsay or umdana. Umdana is where, well, this is what I think. See, that's not good enough. So that's the first thing. Unfortunately, when you find these situations, I'd say about 50% of the time, people are telling you things about someone else just based on hearsay alone. See, this one is not allowed. Or umdana. Then a second condition, he says, which is very important. Even if you know for sure this took place, it's not sufficient. Maybe he did steal. See. Maybe he did steal. Maybe he did what you're claiming he did. But that does not mean that he did something wrong. Often we'll say, well, I know that Reuven did such and such a thing when he was once in business with so and so. Maybe he did. But maybe he was within his rights to do it. Maybe it was the other person that was wrong. And this happens about 50% of the time. If you would investigate properly and give him a chance to state his case, you'll find out that, yes, he did exactly what you thought he did. He did exactly what you saw he did. But he was within his rights to do it. Because it was the other person that was trying to take money from him. It was the other person that owed him money. So the second condition is that even if you know for sure that it happened, what you're claiming happened, you have to know, though, was it wrong what he did, or perhaps it was in his right, he was in his rights what he did. So that's the second condition. The third condition, he writes, is after you have established that what Reuven did, this terrible thing, and it was, he did it, and it was wrong, and now this information you want to get over to Shimon. If the information you want to give to Shimon is in order, that Shimon can perhaps get his money back or something of that order, you have to see if you can fix the situation without going to the extreme of trying to say Loshon Hara, trying to spoil this person's reputation. For example, if this doesn't apply to all situations, but would apply to situations, especially past situations. For example, if you know that Reuven took some money from Shimon and it was not allowed, so rather than going and telling the authorities or the ones that can help to get the money back, if you yourself can speak to Reuven to see that the money gets back to Shimon, or there's some other way to fulfill your objective without the Loshon Hara, then you're obligated to do it that way and not speak to Loshon Hara. So that's the third condition, that the objective that you're pursuing with your Loshon Hara, that's only when it cannot be achieved in any other manner. The fourth condition is that when you do give over this information, you must not exaggerate what's at any in any instance, that you will not be allowed to exaggerate. This is also something that happens often. The fifth condition. Now the fifth condition depends on motive. What is your motive? If your motive is to give this person a bad name, then it's also behechlet. You're not allowed to. If your motive is to save the other person from some type of past or future damage, then you are allowed to. You see, the whole heter, we have to ask ourselves, what is the heter? Why are you permitted? Why am I permitted to give Reuven a bad name in order to bring some type of alleviation, in order to bring something good to Shimon? the yisod, the foundation of the heter, of why it's permissible, is because the Torah only forbade Loshon Hara where you are trying to hurt that person with your Loshon Hara. But if you, the Torah gave you the right to defend yourself or to defend others. An example would be just like when it comes to physical damage. You're not allowed to physically damage someone. If you damage someone with the intention of damaging him, well, this is an aveira. But what happens if this person is going to damage me? If this person is going to hurt me, I'm allowed to defend myself. I'm allowed to defend myself even if I have to hurt him. What happens if he's going to hurt others? Then it's a mitzvah where you must defend the other person even if it means hurting that person. So it's the same thing with Loshon Hara. If the motive of the Loshon Hara is to hurt that person, in other words, to give him a bad name, then it's osur b'haklat. This is the isur, this is the prohibition of Loshon Hara. But if it's to defend myself or to defend another from him because he's a potential danger, then one is allowed. So therefore we have to check your motive. And if the motive is only lahatzil chaveiro, to come and save your friend from a potential hazard, then one is allowed. But if your motive is to give that person a bad name, then one is not allowed. Therefore the Chofetz Chaim writes that you have to be very, very careful that you don't have any gratification from it. That when you give him, when you say the Loshon Hara on him, it would be simple, for example, a simple illustration would be a teacher who has his child in the class, and the child is not behaving. So now you're going to call the parents to tell them, well, you say the Loshon Hara on the child. If the motive is to give the child a bad name, then you're not allowed to. If the motive is that you, by telling the parents will be able to help the child, see, then it's not Loshon Hara. But then he says, you have to be very careful that you do not benefit, get any gratification from this. You do not do it because of sina, of any hatred. You do not do it where you miskabed bekalein shel chaveiroi, where you are taking gratification from his shortcomings. The Gemara says a terrible thing on that. Miskabed bekalein shel chaveiroi ein lechelek leila mabos. Someone who takes gratifications from another person's downfall or shortcomings, heaven forbid, can lose his chelek in leila mabos. And the Chofetz Chaim says, in general, the person that does this should be a better person than the one he's talking about. Because if he's not a better person, then generally he's only doing it because of gratification, self-gratification. All right, so that's the fifth condition. The sixth condition is this is only where there's no other alternative. No other alternative except through exposing this person. And the seventh condition is that by exposing this person, a greater punishment will not come to him than is deserving for what he particularly did. That one must be careful. For example, if he stole something, and the Din Torah is, all right, he has to return it. You can expose him where the ultimate will be that he'll be forced to return it. But if the ultimate will be that more will come to him for that, then one is not allowed to. This is actually, it's a whole shaila because of this, that if someone steals something, can you go and tell the authorities, the police, about it? Because according to the Din Torah, if someone steals something, we can force him to pay back. But if the authorities, let's say, will throw him in jail for who knows how long, it becomes a whole question. That's relevant to this point. So these are the seven general guidelines. Again, there's much to learn in this. Let me just repeat the guidelines again. We're saying that to give someone a bad name, this is the halacha of Lashon Hara, which we do not have to elaborate. But if the motive is to give the person not the bad name, but to protect the other person from him because he's a potential hazard, then one is allowed to do it outside of Beis Din. Beis Din could not accept it from him, but he is allowed to do it. But that's on seven conditions. And the seven conditions are, firstly, he has to know that what he's claiming the person did is absolutely true, not just hearsay, or umdana, just not just an assessment. Secondly, even if he does know it's absolutely true, he has to know that even if he did something that looks like it might not be kosher, he has to know that it wasn't. Maybe he did take money from the other person, but maybe he was in his rights in doing that. The third, he has to see if he himself can go and talk to this person. For example, if he could persuade the person to give the money back, then he's obligated to do that and not go and expose him. The fourth condition is that when he must expose him, he has to be very, very careful not to exaggerate the situation whatsoever. The fifth condition is that his motive must be in exposing the person only in regards to what good will come out for it, for others or for that person. You have a student. But if the motive is to give the person a bad name, or he takes gratification from that, or he does it because of hatred for that person, now then it's Lashon Hara and he's not allowed to. That's the fifth condition. The sixth condition, all of this is only where there is no other alternative to reach your objective except through exposing the other person. And the seventh is that by exposing him, so nothing more will come to the person. See, nothing more will come to the person more than he would be deserving for this act according to the Din Torah. These are the general guidelines. Again, there are many, many details that one has to go into. Now, one final point. We could ask from the other aspect now. All right, you have a right to tell me what so-and-so did, because you're coming to protect me from a potential hazard from him. But what right do I have to listen to it? Someone comes and tells me, they say, I know that you're thinking of entering into a business deal with so-and-so, I want to tell you about so-and-so. I know that you're thinking of making a shidduch with so-and-so, I want to tell you about so-and-so. All right, so we've established you have the right. But what right do I have to listen? We said before that it's like one is not allowed to be mesaper, he's not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, he's not allowed to accept the Lashon Hara either. So in this, the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. He says, this is a very good question we're asking. All right. He says as follows. There are also restrictions on when I can listen. If somebody is coming and telling me, I want to tell you about so-and-so, he did such and such a thing. If I can discern that his motive is only to ride down the person, then I'm not allowed to listen. I have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to listen at all. If I see, though, his motive is for my protection, he says, look, I understand you're doing a deal with so-and-so. I don't want to say bad about him, but at the same time, I don't want to see you get hurt. So I think I must give you some information. If I see that his motive is for my ta'elis, my benefit, and not to run down the other person. And he's the type of person. If he's the type of person that's always gossiping and saying Lashon Hara and picking up everything around the neighborhood, no, then I'm not allowed to listen. But if he's that type of person, well, the first thing I should ask him, I mean, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what you're talking about? Did he actually do this? And when he did it, was he in his rights or not? If it becomes established that it's genuine what he's telling me, then just like we said that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara to hurt that person, but you are allowed to defend yourself or others, so is it with listening. You're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara just to give the person a bad name, but you are allowed to listen to Lashon Hara to protect yourself. So then I am allowed to listen to protect myself. So therefore you would be allowed to listen. But now there's another question. Good, I would be allowed to listen. But am I allowed to believe? It's his word against the other word. A person comes and says, I understand that you're doing business with Reuven. Let me tell you something about Reuven before you do business with him. Am I allowed to believe? He's a single witness. The Beis Din couldn't believe him. So why can I believe him? So the Chofetz Chaim says, Enoch Ram, you're right. You're not allowed to believe him. You're allowed to listen. And this is what the Gemara says, Lochu Shori. You're allowed to listen and you're allowed to be suspicious, but you're not allowed to believe. In other words, you can take it as a warning. So, if somebody comes and he's telling me Lashon Hara about a certain individual, I have to try to discern, is he telling me this Lashon Hara just because he wants to ride down the fella? Or is he doing it for my protection? If it's to ride down the fella, then I got to tell him, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in Lashon Hara. But if it's for my protection, and then I have to be Danish, I have to go further. I says, look, do you know what you're talking about? And how do you know it? And you sure what you saw what he did? And if he did it, maybe he was in his rights or not, and so forth. But once all of that is established, so just like he's allowed to speak Lashon Hara in such a case, because he's not doing it to ride down the other person, he's doing it to protect others. So the same thing, I'm allowed to listen to such a thing, to protect myself. So then I can say, yes, tell me, it's important that I know. I'm hiring this person, or I'm going to do business with him, let's say it's brought the yeshiva, a student. You're not allowed to take a student into a school that you know that will be a mixture, an obstacle to others. If he's a person who has serious problems, let's say he's not a maimon, he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll come into a school or a yeshiva and start saying up a courses and so forth. So then I say, look, it's important, I must know. But then also, even though you're allowed to listen, how do you know he's telling the truth? He's coming to passel a person, he's coming to disqualify a person from being a kosher Israel, and he's an Eirech or a single witness. A Beis Din will not even be allowed to listen, because they have to give a judgment in accordance to witnesses, and there are no witnesses here. But I, to defend myself, or to defend my interests, it says, Lishmaya avalei lekabel. You can listen, but you cannot believe it. Lochu shori. You can listen to the point that take it as a warning signal, and therefore do your own investigation and be on your guard. But to believe him, you're not allowed to believe him, because why should I believe comes and tells me a whole geshicht, a whole story about someone else? Well, how do I know he's telling the truth? So these are the halachos in regards to lo yokum eidecho b'ish l'chol oven l'chol chates l'chol cheta sheyechto, of a single witness, and when it comes to inside a Beis Din, to testify before the Beis Din, or to testify to a fellow man, to give a fellow man information outside of the Beis Din. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.